mercy. Folks, I thought it was all just a big joke. I really did. Made fun of it. Blasphemed God every breath out of my body. Laughed at people that went to church. Laughed at the church. Laughed at the preacher. Made fun of all of it. Said my part and did my part till I met God. And when I came face to face with Him, everything changed with me. I saw a reality there that I had never seen before. Never. Since then, I've seen the same old religion, same old garbage that I saw before. It's alive and well. Same old stinking religion. But I cannot deny the one that I met. Turn to Romans with me tonight, please. Chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 11. Romans 5:11. The scripture says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Father, bless this book. Bless the word in Jesus' name. Amen. If I'm correct, today is Yom Kippur. And most Americans don't have a clue what that means. But Yom in Hebrew is day. Kippur means atonement. It's akin to kafir. When the Bible said Noah made the ark, he pitched it within and without with pitch. The word translated pitch is kafir. He covered it. And so the day of Kippur, Yom Kippur, is the day of atonement. Israel has a lot of holy days. They've got a lot of feast days, but none as high as this one. This is the most sacred day in the Hebrew calendar. It's the Day of Atonement. It's one of the scriptures feast days laid out. It's the seventh month, the 10th day of the month, according to the Jewish calendar. It's the day of the month that the high priest went into the Holy of Holies. He only did it one time a year. Since they have no high priest, since they have no Holy of Holies, they can only go so far in recognizing Yom Kippur. But it's still a very solemn, sacred day to Israel. You'll find them in the synagogues, and you'll find them in prayer. You'll find them fasting. You'll find the whole nation right now in solemn appearance before God. And they're very serious about it. It's a very serious thing to them. While Americans are getting drunk tonight, they're praying. Amen. It is Yom Kippur. And God gave them the feast of Passover, which was the beginning of the year. That's when the Lord was crucified. He was crucified at Passover. 50 days later was Pentecost. That was when the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. Between that was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then seven months later from Passover was the Feast of Atonement, or the Day of Atonement. And then following that was the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's when Israel gathered together in tabernacles. They made booths, and they remembered where they had come from and how God had protected them. And the tabernacling, of course, immediately follows the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement is a very important day because it's the priest comes back out and pronounces the blessing on the people. And so they're ready for another year. Well, now you can look at that and compare that to the calendar of what's happened in the New Testament. And you'll know the Lord was crucified at Passover. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And the seventh month would be the Day of Atonement. It would be when He comes back and pronounces the blessing upon those that look for His appearing. And Israel is gathered together in their tabernacles. And that's where they are tonight. They're, you know, folks, I don't think most Americans understand the debt we have to the Jew. When these people start talking about Zionists and running Jews down, they're talking to the wrong person here. They're talking to the wrong one. Because that Old Testament's a Jewish Bible. It's not a Muslim Bible. No, sir, it's not a Muslim Bible. It's a Jewish Bible. And so it's very important to understand what this day represents. It's solemn. It's a solemn occasion. Now, in 1973, on this day, Yom Kippur, Israel was attacked They were attacked by a number of Arab nations, and also Arab nations and Russia supporting the other Arab nations for the total annihilation of Israel. They set about to destroy Israel as a people and as a nation. They meant to drive them into the sea and get rid of that Zionist scourge. Nothing's changed with these people. They still hate the Jew. The Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt right now is already making their plans to move up on the southern border. And it's happening right now exactly the way God said it would. But from the north, Syria attacked Israel. From the east, Jordan and Iraq attacked Israel. And from the south, Egypt. Now imagine being attacked by four countries, each one of them larger than you. Each one. Four countries at one time. They simultaneously coordinated their attack, where they attacked them, and they chose the Day of Atonement. They chose the most solemn, holy day in the Jewish calendar because they knew they would be in the synagogues praying. They knew that they would be coming before God offering oblations. In plainer words, they calculated it to be at the weakest moment through the whole year. What they did not calculate is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob intervening. I'm going to give you a few of the interventions he made. In 1973, it's called the Yom Kippur War. It's one of the many wars Israel has fought for its survival. And so, let me read a few of the things that happened. After the war was over with, a Syrian tank commander, he was a tank commander, was asked, he said, "Why, when you had this enormous tank force on the Golan Heights, and you were coming down into Israel, and there was nothing to stop you, why did all of a sudden you stop your tanks? Why did you just stop? Why did you stop instead of coming on in? Because nobody could have stopped you." Here was his answer. He said, "There was a line of white angels, and a hand descended from heaven saying, 'Stop.'" He said, "Would you have tried to cross that?" That's what he said. That's what that Syrian officer said when they asked him why he stopped. Supernatural intervention. That's why he stopped. They've made a movie entitled Against All Odds. I haven't viewed it, but apparently it's a pretty good documentary. But it has to do with a lot of these things. I want to read a couple more of you. "Why, during the War of Independence, did a battalion of Jordanian soldiers approaching the position of a handful of Israeli soldiers defending Mount Zion without ammunition suddenly shout, 'Abraham,' and turn and flee?" Because he let Abraham appear. Or a facsimile of him, like when Samuel came up. "How could three dozen teenagers, survivors of the Holocaust, walk right past a company of Egyptians, soldiers, in the Negev without being seen? The fact that these and scores of other unexplainable occurrences fill the pages of every war in Israel is documented." Unbelievable, the number of stories that they have about how that God had intervened. This is a good one. "When an Israeli tank commander found himself and his men in the middle of a minefield, how was the prayer of one of his men suddenly followed by an unprecedented wind that blew away nearly a foot of topsoil and then just as suddenly stopped, revealing the hiding places of thousands of mines so the soldiers could escape unharmed?" It happened. Now, however you might want to spin that, that all happened. That's just a few cases. They met armies that were not of this world. They had supernatural interventions where God literally moved mountains. For who? For Israel. For Israel. If the United States of America were to attack Israel with all of its might as this great superpower, we've got all the hardware, the armor, you know, the men, the machines, and all that. Folks, I would stand on the side of Israel in a heartbeat to survive it and come out victor. Because you're not fighting against Israel, you're fighting against God. May the 14th, 1948, when they declared their independence, the next day they were attacked on every... And they didn't have an air force, they didn't have an army, they didn't have anything. A ragtag bunch of people put together, and yet they fought for 8 years and fought off the enemy and finally won their independence. God meant for Israel to become a nation, and they did. Now today, in the United Nations, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the insane leader of Iran, I'm being kind, who has been saying that Israel is an illegitimate government. And he talks about the Zionist entity. And I get so tired of hearing about Zionism. Do you know what Zionism is? You understand, I've tried to explain it before. Zionism and Judaism are not necessarily synonymous. All Jews don't subscribe to Zionism. Zionism is the effort to establish a Jewish homeland in the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It started with Theodor Herzl in Basel, Switzerland, the first Zionist Congress in the late 1800s. And the sole purpose was to establish a Jewish homeland. For a while, they had support from Great Britain, but then Great Britain signed what's called the White Paper, limiting immigration into the country, and turned against Israel. And it's an amazing thing, too, when I look at how Great Britain turned against Israel. They reneged on the Balfour Declarations, what it's called, and they turned against Israel. Did you know that in the latter part of the 1800s, Great Britain was an empire? Under Queen Victoria, the sun never set on the British Empire. They're not an empire anymore. They're not an empire anymore. Those days are long past. When they turned on Israel, God turned on them. So this man gets up today and he says that Israel needs to be to cease to exist. And then, of course, he said time and again that they have no ambition of a nuclear weapon. But, of course, we all know better. We know exactly what Ahmadinejad is doing. We know what he intends to do. We know what he's got planned. So does Netanyahu. He speaks tomorrow at the United Nations. Tomorrow is the first day after Yom Kippur. Today is a high holy day. Tomorrow's not. Benjamin Netanyahu has finally understood from Barack Hussein Obama that Barack Obama is not Israel's friend. He understands that Mr. Obama publicly says that he supports Israel. He publicly says that he will not allow Iran to get a bomb. He publicly makes all these statements, but in the background he does nothing, and he won't do anything. He will do absolutely nothing to stop Iran from getting a bomb. Why? Because he's a Muslim, that's why. When they murdered that ambassador down there in Libya, he has been going out of his way ever since then to try to appease the Muslim community and make them feel like that, it's not you, it's just a small group of radicals in your midst that did that down there in Libya. And the purpose of all of that, of course, is so that he may be able to further his agenda with the Muslim people. Now, Ahmadinejad made a statement about something today, and you need to think about what he said. He talked about a new world order. A new world order. And the new world order is, he of course would have to define to me what he means by that. In other words, where is the Muslim's place in the new world order? Folks, I'm going to say it to you again tonight now. The ruling elite, I'm talking about the people who tell the presidents what to do, the people who put the money out, the people who control, the people who have the real power in this world, who are not voted in and voted out of office. The ruling elite intend to purge this earth of most of its population. And make no mistake about it, the black man and the brown man is the first to go. They're already developing genetically engineered viruses and weapons that target certain ethnic groups. They're already doing that. And you haven't seen you don't know what horror is if God does not intervene and step into this thing and stop this madness that men are doing. When I say that they are genetically engineering, I'm saying that they're coming to the point, and probably already do now, have the capability of targeting people with have certain DNA characteristics. That's the point. And by targeting a certain DNA, then you're going to wipe out these people. It's pogrom. It's a genocide. And the elite will stop at nothing. They'll stop at nothing. They're mass murderers. They're killers. So the New World Order that Ahmadinejad is talking about, he may be trying to put feelers out, saying to the ruling elite, you know, I'm willing to talk to you, but you know, I'm not going to have anything to do with these Jews, and let's bypass America, and let's talk to you. I'm ready. Let's communicate for the New World Order. That may be what he has in mind. It probably is what he has in mind. Because you must remember that the Persian is not an Arab. He's a Persian. Ahmadinejad is a Persian. Iran is ancient Persia. They speak Farsi, not Arabic. And they're altogether different people. But this ruling elite is creating exactly the kind of atmosphere and world that they want. And folks, they're coming down to that point now where it's going to be, they're going to see it happen. You're going to see it happen. You're going to see it happen in your lifetime. If the Lord Jesus doesn't come back, you are going to see things happen to people that literally blow your mind at how wicked and godless people can be. In 9/11, when all those people died up there in those two trade towers, I have read and read and read and read about what happened on that day. And I am firmly convinced that the official party line story that came out of Washington or wherever it came from as to what happened that day is not true. I'm not here tonight to point blame. I'm not here tonight to tell you that George W. Bush is a mass murderer. There's a lot of people in the country who believe he is. I'm not going to say that, but I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that whoever dropped those two towers right there, they are mass murderers. And I'm going to tell you right now that those people don't care who you are, they'll kill you. When you have a British BBC newswoman talking into the camera, reading her news report, the two buildings have collapsed. In her report, she reads into the camera about building number 7 collapsing also. Yet you can look across her shoulder and see building 7 standing. Check that out. Of all the things that you've ever heard about 9/11, if that is true, if that one thing right there is true, that ought to be enough to throw up more red flags than you can handle in a lifetime. It was orchestrated. She already had the news report to read before the building ever went down, that building 7 was going to go down. I have heard that Larry Silverstein, who's the man who owned the building, confessed that he had it dropped. That he had the building, whatever terminology he used, there in the World Trade Square, and the buildings went down. Since that time, you've seen an acceleration of war. Right now, in the Persian Gulf, Israel has an atomic submarine sitting there right now in the Persian Gulf. They have atomic weaponry aimed at Iran. Atomic weaponry is aimed at Iran. They are going to get the message over to Iran that Israel may not be able to match them man for man. They may not be able to, and they're the smallest country over there. They may not be able to match them man for man, but all it takes is one atomic weapon from one submarine to turn most of Iran into a desert. And what's that going to do, though, if they do that? They've called it the Samson option. Israel has said, you will not destroy us. And so now when they give up on Obama, and Netanyahu has given up on him, folks, we are on the verge of World War III. World War III. And if we do go into World War III, I don't think this world will survive it without the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, except those days be short, no flesh be left alive. Scripture says the oceans are going to be turned to blood. All kinds of supernatural things are talked about. Stars of the heaven fall to the ground. Revelation chapter number 9, it talks about a bottomless pit opening up and creatures coming up out of the pit that are half human and half animal in varying states of decay. It talks about forces being led by unclean spirits, demonic possession. The tribulation period is the most unbelievable time that's ever come upon this earth. And we've come to a point now, folks, where there's no going back. There's no turning back. Iran is not going to back down. Ahmadinejad has said to Obama, quit trying to bully us. He said to Obama, the day of empire is over. What they're saying is that the United States is an empire. And that it projects its will over all the other countries of the world. And Ahmadinejad says, you're not going to do that to us. The bottom line is, if we want a nuclear weapon, we're going to have a nuclear weapon, whether you like it or not. But the problem is that Israel will not stand by and allow them to have a nuclear weapon. Because those ayatollahs over there will use them. And Israel definitely has nuclear weapons, folks. There's no question about that. Everybody knows that. And all it takes is the first one to go off, and this world will be plunged into a war like you've never known. If it ever does, if it happens soon, you, along with all the rest of the Christians in America, will be begging for the Lord Jesus to come back. Life as we know it will cease to exist. Life as you know it ceased to exist. If you can get a gallon of gasoline, you'll pay $10 or $20 for it. If you can keep your job, if you can buy food, it'll be beyond belief at what you have to pay for it. Medication, all the other things that come. All this is going to happen. If World War III happens the way they're talking about, and Russia and China and all these nations come in with all the firepower they've got today, folks, it can happen unbelievably horrid conditions. And I know everybody's been lulled asleep because we've had decades of relative peace in this country. We have had decades. The only wars that have been fought, America has been fighting on somebody else's soil. But if this happens, it's going to be beyond belief as to what happens. So my prayer is that Israel can stop Iran from having their nuclear weapon and possibly go in there and stop it like they did at Osirik back at about 25 years ago. And stop a World War III. That would be the best scenario. You cannot count on Obama. The only way Obama will have anything to do with anything is if he thinks he can get some votes from it. That's all. If he thinks he can get some votes from it, he'll get involved in it. Otherwise, he's running from everything. Leading from behind, he says. And the world is in the most volatile situation it has been since John F. Kennedy told Khrushchev, you either get those missiles out of Cuba or I'll remove them myself. And they had nuclear warheads on them. And John Fitzgerald Kennedy faced Khrushchev down. Just like Ronald Reagan faced Gorbachev down. The world only understands strength when you go out and start bowing to kings and making excuses for your country. They're going to run you over. And that's who you got in your White House right now. You got a man bowing down before foreign kings and making excuses for this country. Well, they should have gone into Libya. They should already be in Libya. They should have already had the troops ashore in Libya. They should have already taken over everything that relates to Libya and say, we will track you down. We will find you and hang you right here where you killed this ambassador. And let that be a word for the rest of the diplomats throughout the world. If you kill our diplomats, we'll hunt you down and hang you. Well, anyway, that's where we stand tonight. It's Yom Kippur. This is the Day of Atonement. What do you think those Jews are praying right now? Think about it for a minute now. I know here in America, the only thing people think about is their next new car and their new house and the money and their vacations and their holidays and people are asleep, folks. They are asleep. And I guess my problem is I read too much of this stuff. I have read so much of it from so many different angles. And they're asleep. But they're not asleep in Israel. They're praying for the Messiah. They're praying for the Messiah. They're praying for the Mashiach. They're praying because they know that the government of America right now, with the current resident in the White House, is against them. They know the Arab nations have always been against them. And they know that Iran is doing everything they can to get a nuclear weapon they're going to use against them. And so they look like, to them, it looks like they're facing the world. That's what Israel goes to bed with tonight. I want them to know this. I want them to know there are times down through the years of my ministry that I've had to say things and I'll say them again. I want them to know I'm their friend and I want the Lord God to know I'm their friend. I want the Bible, when the Bible says that if you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and I'm going to bless the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because he said, if you bless them, he said, I'll bless thee. I'm going to do that and I want them to know in their darkest hour that everybody in this world is not against them and that they do have friends. They do have friends. They've got millions of friends in this country. Israel does. I owe them for that book and I owe them for my Savior. I owe them for the truth. The truth did not come from a Muslim. That book did not come from Mohammed. That came from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the power of the Holy Spirit of God inspiring His words through the prophets. That's where that book came from. And now it's a dark hour. Now's the time to let them know who you stand. When it gets like this, you find out who your friends are. And Israel will find out who its friend is. And it knows that Barack Hussein Obama is not its friend. Now Mitt Romney has said plainly, he's met with Benjamin Netanyahu. He's told them plainly that he will support them to the hilt. That America will support Israel. My prayer is that if this thing lasts long enough to go through the November 6th elections, by the grace of God, that you can get that man out of the White House and put a man in there that will support Israel. Amen. Amen. And I say, be as nice as I can. If you're going to run to the polls and vote for Obama, run to another church. Amen. Run to another church. Go find you a bunch of liberals, a bunch of baby-killing, sodomite-enabling liberals. Call yourself a Baptist if you please, but not in my book. Amen. Not when it gets like this. Not when it gets like this. No, no, no. I don't want to hear you talking about the Lord and how much you love the Lord, and you run in there and vote for somebody that's going to kill baby. He's the worst baby killer that's ever come from this country, that's turned his back on Israel the way he has, that enables the sodomites, that's pushed it into the military, that got it, that the position of the platform of the Democrat Party is that they're pushing a sodomite marriage now, so-called gay marriage and all that. Folks, everything they're doing is against Christ and against His Word. How in the world can a man go into a booth and vote for something like that and then come into church and sing, how I love Jesus? The reason I got saved in 1973 is because I met the Lord, not because the hypocrisy of the church was as deep and great then as it is now and stunk to high heaven. And it stinks to high heaven now. And they talk to me, they say, preacher, we want to have a revival. Let me tell you how to have a revival. You don't need a revival, you need a reformation. Why would God revive a devil like that? You don't revive a dead man like a devil like that. That man needs to be saved. You need a reformation, not a revival. A revival's for saved people. May I tell you how to have a revival? Get on your knees and start praying about the coming of the Lord. And November the 6th, go into the booth and vote. Vote your convictions. And do something that this coming year that may make a difference and may save some people. And save that country over there. And the Lord will come back. Hallelujah. And I'm looking for His coming. Amen. Amen. Say, preacher, I want to go to a church that's not political. Woo! Let's go find us one of these kumbaya, sit around the campfire at night and feel good. And just let the world go to hell around us. And, you know, just everybody feels good and loves everybody and glory to God. It's just a one, just big old one religious party. And I don't want to hear about all these problems and I don't want to hear about all that stuff. Well, then what world are you in? Do you know what to pray for? Do you know what's taking your children away from you? Do you know what they're doing to your kids right now? Do you know what they're watching on television? Do you know what they're giving them in the public school system? Do you know what they're living in? Do you know what kind of world? Do you know where that came from? Do you know what you do to enable that kind of thing? You see what I'm saying? When you know where the wicked is, you know where the wicked spout is, you know the source of it, cut it off. Amen. Amen. Cut it off. Cut it off. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I've said what you put on my heart. I pray for those people. I know they're worried. I know they're sweat tonight. I know they're hurt tonight, Lord. I know that. I know that. They're surrounded by enemies on every side. Everywhere they turn, there's an enemy. But my Heavenly Father, I pray for Jerusalem, and I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and I pray for the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I pray for that flag of David. I pray for those people. I pray for them now. I pray for Benjamin Netanyahu. Pray you'd give him wisdom to lead them. And then, Lord God, as you have in the past, intervene for them, Holy One. Come down from heaven and intervene against their enemies and raise up a standard against them, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we owe them. We owe them so much. Oh, how much we owe them. In thy holy name we pray, and for Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm done. I told the truth. Told the truth. I wouldn't be in the church today if it wasn't for the truth, because I don't have use for a lie. I despise religion then, I do now.